Welcome to Monday Morning Coffee with Inside the Firm. Each week, our hosts will be interviewing local, regional, and national business leaders to give you an inside peek into how they lead their business to success in the ever-competitive business climate.
Welcome to Monday Morning Coffee with Inside the Firm. Today, I have a very special guest. Ilona Lopari is the visionary CEO of The Life School. She is a speaker and a best-selling author. She is both a servant community builder and a people connector. She is a prior Fortune 500 CEO featured in Disrupt and New York Weekly, Business Insider, CEO Weekly, The Business and Business News, and Famous Times. Ilona is also the CEO of The Life School, where she keeps visionary leaders and CEOs grow legacy purpose driven businesses through inner alignment, branding, marketing, sales, and teams so they can maximize their impact and income to do better in the world. Ilona, welcome to the show.
Lance, thank you so much for the great introduction. I'm very pleased to be here and looking forward to having a great conversation.
Yeah, same. So before we get into what you do now, tell us how you got here. Are you from a family of entrepreneurs? Where does that entrepreneurial spirit come from?
I love your question because when I did my research over the journey as I transitioned from being a corporate CEO into the entrepreneurial space, I realized that it skipped a few generations. So my grandparents were also entrepreneurs, but no, I never thought I would be one. I climbed the corporate ladder originally from Albania, moved here. My parents, you know, with the American dream, you get a good degree and you get a good job, safety, all that, all those things were kind of inherited towards me. So I did that 15 years. I climbed the corporate ladder for a Fortune 500 company, which happened to be in a growth phase, which was really good because I was able to grow and actually do a lot of different roles there with them until the company was acquired by another company. And then it felt like an inner conflict. I no longer saw a future there. And I guess being the ambitious, I don't know what you might want to call it, person that I am, I'm always looking to learn and grow and very curious. And that's how entrepreneurship showed up for me, because it just felt like I didn't want to do another 9-to-5, go through a similar path that I've been on. So I'm like, let me just check out what this whole entrepreneur journey is all about. I knew I was very skilled. I knew I was pretty experienced and I've created a lot of amazing results for the companies. So I said, let me just try it out. So fast forward 5 years as an entrepreneur, now helping founders and corporate CEOs build a legacy company that aligns and puts purpose first and then profit second, because I knew firsthand that's actually what drove me out of the company, because I was seen as a number and profit was always prioritized. And I just lost connection with the meaning of the work that I was doing. So I said, wait, there's got to be a better way to do this, where we're part of, you know, a company where people actually believe in its vision, mission, and the culture is very healthy and people can learn, grow, and contribute beyond themselves. So it's kind of the work that I do today.
Yeah, purpose is, I agree, it's much more meaningful than profit. You know, there's been a lot of studies that have come out in the last decade or so, maybe even longer than that, that point to once you get to a certain level of income, your happiness is very, it doesn't really move much. The needle doesn't move much the more money you make. There's a certain plateau that happens with that. I love immigrants that come into the United States and start businesses and do what you're doing. And I especially love if they're females too, because your perspective, I think, is something that it's usually different than mainstream perspectives that most Americans have. So I'm curious about that, those two things, basically. There's a lot of headlines in the media that talk about how difficult it is and glass ceilings, especially if you're a female moving up in the corporate world, but also as an entrepreneur. And I'm curious where you're at with that in retrospect. Do you believe there was a glass ceiling? Is that a falsity? You know, were your struggles any different than if it would have, a man would have been in your position in either category?
Well, I mean, the company I worked for was mainly male dominated. And when I got to the climb up the ladder to the C-suite, obviously I had a lot of internal work, I guess, that I had to do, because I didn't really feel like I was, you know, I could connect with a lot of the male dominated roles and I guess, you know, coworkers that I was interacting with. So that's kind of like my first experience with kind of seeing that, wait a minute, there's, you know, there's some thanks to this that maybe I could take the opportunity to look out. And but obviously with everything in my life, I always learn from everybody, right? I always like saw that, you know, okay, so how can I add value based on where I am? And so that I didn't get defined by, you know, where I came from or, you know, the fact that I'm a woman, I can add value, you know, just like anyone. So I guess growth just became one of my coping mechanisms to be able to, you know, and educate myself, you know, be knowledgeable, gain a lot of experience, because I find that those are really important tools that I could combat, I guess, a lot of the things that maybe I didn't like as I was climbing through that career. And also now as an entrepreneur, even though now being an entrepreneur, I love it because obviously you're independent and you get to focus and create on, you know, with the communities and people that you align with. So it's definitely different from you climbing that corporate ladder. But I think patterns that keep coming up is I was very blessed that I was exposed to diversity very early on. And diversity is such an important piece because you get to learn from everybody and people bring in such unique perspective when they have those backgrounds and things in their journeys that are not, you know, similar to other people. So that's why I always loved that. Even my company is called The Life School, because I believe that everybody brings in that piece of experience that's different. And that's how we get to learn and grow together. Determination is another one. Persistency, being able to adapt no matter what, no matter what challenges come your way. These were things that I seen early on in my own family. So to me, it just became in it to kind of just kind of do that. I'm like, oh, it's not supposed to be easy. And I'm not just going to roll up and just quit every moment that there's a small, tiny challenge, because I've seen for the longest, I've always like, my parents could do it. They spoke no English. They had no connections. They had to start over. Like, what is my thing? I can keep learning, growing. I can keep, you know, chasing for the things that I want to do. So they became a source of inspiration for me. But I've seen determination, hard work, hard, strong work ethic, these things that I've seen as values in my family. And for the longest, I was the problem solver in my family. I didn't know that this will really serve me well as an entrepreneur, because that's really our job description, solving problems that we care about while we create impact in, you know, through others and with other people. So that's kind of how it's
named. Yeah. You didn't let anything hold you back. I love that. I love that you treated the, if there was any kind of adversity, as just a challenge for you to grow and accepted it. It's a very stoic approach. Let's move into what you do when you're coaching other business owners and entrepreneurs and all of that. Tell us about these. You talk about in your book and what you do with the seven foundational pillars to building a purpose-driven company. I would love for you to elaborate on that.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So I've seen common patterns in me being under the umbrella of a big corporations. Obviously, I was at the C-suite, so I came through the, you know, the chains of command over the 13 years I was with them. So I was very able to see and connect dots between, like, how does this big company actually operate? Like, what are some of the patterns that we can now, or I could translate as I went out to start and build my own company? And I realized that there are certain pillars to operations, right? Every business obviously is unique and different, but just like any area of life, there's certain processes that we undertake so that we can get a certain result. And business was no different. Every business needs to know how to brand themselves. Every business needs to know how to market. Every business needs to know how to create sales systems. Every business needs systems as they scale. And then of course, every business needs team members, people to align under the vision, mission of the company. So that became my framework that I've seen over my experience in how now I'm helping other businesses scale at the next level. So whether it's their, one of my very trained abilities is to operations, systematize productivity, efficiency, out of all the different pieces in our companies kind of fit together under that one brand umbrella, the one vision and one mission that we're after, and then one market, if it's one market, and then later on, obviously most companies want to expand to different markets with the world of globalization that we're living in today. So that's kind of the unique spin that I bring to the table because of the vast experience now of over 20 years is helping companies streamline their operations under those pillars. And then when you get to a certain level, kind of bring in the right people, structure out your departments, you know, focus the right efforts on the right activities so that the company is always growing their brand, prioritizing their purpose, but also prioritizing the profits, because we all know that if your profits die out, and it's not the same as sales, you can have a lot of sales, you cannot have that healthy profit that you can bring in and reinvest that back in the business. Because initially, essentially, in a nutshell, a business is supposed to be an independent entity from the owner, right? I mean, technically, that's how businesses obviously should operate, because then not only you have built an asset as the CEO of your company, but later on, you can focus your energy, your time, and other things, and you can attract and scale your company with investors, going public, selling it, all the different, you know, all the different strategies that you can focus on as your company scales. So streamlining everything, systematizing it, making a very healthy operational entity out of the company so that it can be self-led and it can generate purpose and profit. And again, it can become an asset in the marketplace eventually.
Yeah. Are there different pillars for when you're trying to make, you know, visionary leadership happen in one of these companies that you work with? Or is it the same sort of, is it applied differently?
Yeah, when the company's bigger, obviously, when I work with my bigger companies, a million to 10 million, the role of CEO or the leader or the founder becomes more in the leadership aspect, meaning overseeing the leadership, the executive team of the company. So you scale a lot of your skills more into the leadership aspect and figuring out how to scale the business from a more strategic standpoint, then you go in into the day-to-day, you know, operations of the company. So that's the point. We streamline the operations so that the CEO can then focus on the growth strategies that they need to focus on and leading their executive team. So at that point, it becomes about you leveling up as a leader and understanding how to leverage other people to be able to scale.
Yeah. How would one connect? So if there's an entrepreneur or CEO listening to this podcast, and they want to form their ultimate vision for their company, how do you work with them to connect the dots backwards in order to do that?
Mm-hmm. So obviously everything starts with a plan, right? Where are we trying to go? Starting from where we are to where we try to go, because it's always in the gap. It's where the growth lies, right? We need to understand what kind of gap actually exists between where they are and where they want to go. And then based on that, we strategically start implementing the right steps or strategies within what they've already created to get us to that ultimate vision and mission that the CEO has, of course, while adding a lot of my insight and expertise to be able to coach someone through or consult somebody through some of those blind spots or things that they don't necessarily know that they need to know in order to make the right decisions or even make the right investment decisions. So who do we need to bring on board? What's a great strategy to maybe acquire another company, right? There's so many ways that we could scale. It's not only in the linear aspect of how we're able to do it, but always identifying the gap. It's where we always begin, because we need to be focused and very purposeful and intentional with where we're going. That's why a plan that is put in place and everybody is aligned under that is a great way to begin.
Yeah. So purpose and profit, sometimes if you ask 10 people on the street, my guess is that the majority of those people would say those things are usually at odds. How do you make it so they're not, how do you work with people so they're not at odds?
I love that question, because yes, it's true. And even me, for the longest time, I thought they were two separate things. I'm like, how do you connect? But it's such a beautiful harmony when the leader understands, or I guess is able to clarify or articulate the vision behind the impact of their work, whether they have services or products. I usually focus, and I'm an expert in the service industry. So that's kind of, you know, what I do. But when they're able to articulate what kind of impact does that service has on its customers, on its communities, right, on the people that are part of the company, when the leader is able to articulate that, then that becomes a clear purpose that everybody's going after. And it's beyond the day-to-day activities, is beyond the day-to-day operations, is beyond even the business model, because we all know that as the company grows and evolves, your business models evolve, because you always want to improve your service, right? And that's a great thing. Continuous improvement is always something that happens in companies, just like human lives. So once that clear sense of purpose is there, then everybody starts to align around that. And the team members that might be under you, your culture really understands why they're working towards something and why it's important to them. And again, it's one thing to articulate the vision. It's another thing to help them connect their individual gifts, skills, expertise, experience, motivations with that bigger vision, right? So that's the job of the leadership team, to help the rest of the team members to connect that for them personally. Because just because you obviously resonate with the vision as a leader doesn't mean that somebody working maybe in your marketing department really, you know, connects with that or aligns with that. So doing that individual one-to-one touch points, meetings, all those things that happen in the daily operations with your team, really connect everybody to that. And it's important to be around, you know, clear on your values as well, because values create your culture, right? If you know what you're standing for, or you stand for in the marketplace, and how you operate on the day-to-day, then obviously everybody can, you know, use that as a compass to be able to make decisions. It really drives a lot of the decision-making within the company. And then once that's clear, and it's always beyond yourselves, right? You're operating, you exist because of the contribution that you have towards others. I find that just like human life, we get to a certain level of material success and we are always looking for more. We're looking for the spiritual fulfillment.
Yeah.
A company works the same, right? We're here for a bigger mission. Mm-hmm. And then usually the profits align, because if you have such a strong brand and you're known for such quality and transformative results with your service, then of course people just want to pay you because you're able to provide that. So that becomes how your profits start to align with your bigger purpose, because you stay very in alignment with your vision, your values, and your mission, and you build trust in the marketplace. And we all know how important trust is, whether it's with your clients, your teams, your customers, everybody else around you. And that takes time. That takes time to build a brand, but you know, we start with where we are and we evolve the company slowly. But that's how I think the two connect, and you have more of a future, because now your team can grow with you. And the more you evolve, the more people come alongside with you. And not everybody will come alongside with you, but the people that are there for the right reason will be able to do that. So that will help with your employee retention as well, and a lot of other important, you know, metrics that we look into as far as the health of the company itself.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That was perfectly put, and I'm with you. It does take a long time to build that brand, but if you're consistent, what you do, and there's a purpose behind it, especially if you're in like what we are, you know, my companies are service based. So if customer service is the number one priority for us. And if we're just have that mindset of serving other people to the best of our abilities, being proactive with our communication, with our running right at problems when they come, I'm with you. Then that's at a certain point, you're climbing this hill, and you get to at least a peak on the hill or something like that. I'm trying to make a metaphor here of like, and then your services are in such demand. You can command, you know, the kind of fees that lead you to that profit. What about two more? There's two more things I think that are maybe potentially people think that they're at odds. So personal success and professional success, because you know, a lot of people are, especially with Americans, at least a lot of ones that I work with are working. You start your business and you just become workaholic, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And it's hard to have personal success when you're working that hard, right? You start neglecting family members and all of that stuff. How do people get into that alignment? Is it just as simple as setting up boundaries? I would love your opinion on that.
And I love that you mentioned that. And yes, I am Albanian American. I've been here 27 years. So I completely understand. I'm part of the culture, right? And we know, just like anything, psychology, we understand that, or personal development, we get that we are, you know, we become part of the environment and the culture that we live in, right? And we just, you know, get programmed with those different things. The journey for me has been to look within the purpose, speaking of the purpose, because to me, that's like something that follows a lot of different things in life. Because, you know, we talk about like life purpose, like if you have a purpose around your company, you also most of the time that connects with our personal purpose, especially when you're after a mission and vision, you're dedicating so much time and energy to your baby that it grows, right? Because a company could be just like a child, right? It through the years of growth, it will need different, demands, and you need to feed it different things so that it keeps growing. But I think it's all starts for me. It started to a lot of, you know, outside circumstances and a lot of, I guess, red flags in my personal life as I wasn't dedicating a lot of time to my self-care, my family, my, you know, other priorities, or my health, which was number one. It started to show up as anxiety. It started to show up, you know, coping mechanisms with food, sometimes with other things that obviously have negative side effects if we just continue to do that. So it really helped me to start to become aware around, okay, what are the things that I'm doing and what are the things that are holding me back and what are the results that it's actually causing in my life? And I hired mentors to help me with a lot of my personal stuff so that I could figure out a lot of those things that were holding me back or things that maybe I was programmed early on of how to cope with things, which were not, you know, very healthy for me. So looking at those personal challenges or stories that I was telling myself or fears or things that were holding me back absolutely then made me a better leader in my company, because obviously I'm still the person I'm going to be bringing in my company to be the main decision maker many times. So working on those personal things absolutely adds value to your company as well, because you come in as a whole then, right? You have already overcome a lot of those things. So you just become more empathetic with your clients, with your team, with other people around you, because you're able to project a lot of that inner work that you have done. So for me, it's always about figuring out where, you know, what success looked like for me. Was it the role models that I've seen, you know, hustle until, you know, no ends, whatever, 24 hours and never enough. I mean, all this, I was always seeking for models that did this the healthy way, at least based on what I wanted for my life. So taking some time to clarify the vision and purpose for your personal life and then harmonizing that with your professional always helps, because the two need to be harmonized and feed into each other. But boundaries help. Once you have that awareness, then of course, setting the right boundaries, prioritizing your personal time first, your family time second, you know, the other priorities that are important to you, maybe travel, hobbies, all these things on your calendar first, are always, you know, the best thing to do, because we all know that if we're not purposeful or intentional with things in our personal life, then our business could just take over our entire world and calendar if we let it. So we got to be purposeful and intentional. And until you have that clarity, people that, you know, can support with that really are very, very helpful, because we don't always see our stuff, right? We have blind spots, but we don't always see what are the things that might be holding us back. So people, professionals in all these types of fields and topics are absolutely helpful to be able to give us that clarity. And then we can be empowered with that information and awareness, and we can start combining that with our day-to-day, you know, agenda tasks that we have to do for our businesses.
Yeah, purposeful and intentful. I'm with you 100% there. And I think it starts with like scheduling. And what I say is you're making appointments for yourself, whether it's professional or personal, keeping a tight schedule in that kind of way. And like people think it's actually kind of back to, you know, I say discipline equals freedom a lot. If you have the discipline to be intentional with your time and even your scheduling, like, you know, personal endeavors of, oh, I'm taking this weekend off and I'm blocking the whole thing off, and, you know, the professional side can't enter into my life for that weekend, is where it starts, in my opinion. We're running up on the half hour here, Ilona, and I have two questions that I ask every guest as we wrap things up. First one is, knowing what you know now, and if you could go back in time when you first started your business, what is one piece of advice you give your former self?
It's funny how I don't, I'm a very, I really think that everything that happened to me was exactly how it needed to be at that phase and stage of my business growth journey, so that it could prepare me for really the next step. But one advice would be surround yourself with the right people, the right communities, the right mentors. Always be a life student, always learn and grow, always be studying, and studying with purpose as well, because we all know how much we can inject a lot of content, but that could be more overwhelming than really helpful. So I would say that that also takes its own way to be able to learn and grow. Learn around different themes that you're focusing on. That's what I've learned is most helpful. So let's say for the next 3 months, I'm focusing on a certain goal, whether it's personal or professional, then maybe surround yourself with the right people or learning that will help you with that, because then you're very clear on what you're trying to accomplish and the thing that you're learning you can actually implement. And we all know that the results are always in the implementation and not just the theory. So that's kind of what I've learned, that I become more intentional with my learning, whether when I just started, I just want to consume and inhale everything that I could, but it just got me more overwhelmed
Oh,
and
sure.
more in comparison mode than anything.
Yeah. And comparison is the thief of joy. Ilona, you've been fantastic. If people want to reach out to you and engage you for what you do, maybe even pick up the book as well, where can people find and follow you if they want to get in touch with you?
Thank you so much. They can check me out on my website, ilonaleparicoaching.com. And that's where a lot of my resources are, and people find a lot of free resources if they resonate with anything that I said. And also on LinkedIn, that could be a great way to further continue this conversation.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, but thank you so much for being on the show today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.